We started a series, y'all, and we're calling these our discipleship sessions. And really, this whole year, this is we're calling this, we've declared it our year of becoming disciples. And why we've said that is because Jesus made a profound statement in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. He said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." No option of freedom. You'll be free from the things that bind you. And many believers are not disciples. And the Bible clearly distinguishes the difference between a disciple and one who is born again, a believer. And a believer goes to heaven, but they don't walk in all the promises of God. And so all this year, we're going to be focusing on that, getting you discipled. We can't make you become discipled. All we can do is offer it, and we're doing that. We're setting up situations where to make sure that we're off doing our very best to make sure that you can get everything you need to not die of cancer, to not be broke, to walk in your purpose and your destiny, to walk out what God has for you. And that's why this church is called Destiny, and we want you to walk in it. So that's what we're doing. Tonight, we're talking about the believer's ministry, and we're on part three. Part three. So turn over in your Bible real quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. Just look up here on the screen. By the way, my notes are always available online. My notes are available online. All the messages are available online at www.destinygso.org. DestinyGSO.org. Yeah, and you can see all the messages. All my notes are available online right now. All these notes that I've got up here, it's just one page, but they're always available for you. You can always just go on our website, get the notes, look at it right there on your phone. We want to do everything to make sure that you get all that God has for you. Amen? So we started this series talking about the believer's ministry. And one of the things for you to walk out what God has for you, you've really got to understand your purpose. You've got to understand your purpose. And to live life without purpose, it becomes very a mishap. Many people, I say it like this, many people work where they work because they were hiring. And for no other reason. They just get that job there because they just need a paycheck. And that's good at first, but I don't know if you've ever been on a job that couldn't stand you and you couldn't stand them. It's not made for you. Anybody ever been there in life? Very uncomfortable for position, and many people live that way. They just live that way, in that state, and that's not how God created us. We're human beings. We're created to be something and to do what we're made to be. Are you with me? And so what I want to do in these sessions is help you to walk that out. You as a believer have been called to the ministry. And don't panic about that. What that simply means, ministry simply means serving. And serving, Jesus said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Those who serve. If you want to become great in the kingdom, you have to learn to serve. We've been called to serve. And it's the secret. It's one of the secrets in the kingdom for God's promotion. And God has called us all to serve. And if you'll learn this, if you'll learn that with your gift, you serve the earth, your generation with your gift, it can bless you very, very much. And so this series, we're talking about your corporate assignment as a believer. Your corporate assignment as a believer. Of course, we're on part three, so I can't review everything. But in Ephesians, and really all of the New Testament, all of the epistles, Paul alludes and talks about these things, our call and our assignment as believers. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is a book that's broken up into three parts. The first three chapters all talks about sitting, how we sit. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And what it's talking, when I say seated, it's your position of rest. You didn't do anything to get the authority that God's given you except accepting Him. You didn't do anything, you know what I mean? You're sitting. It's a rested position. You have all of His righteousness, but not because you kept the works of the law, but because you have Christ's righteousness. It's a seated position of rest. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says it. He says a prayer that's in Ephesians, and his prayer is that you get a revelation of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. He doesn't pray that you get more healing because you've got all the healing. He doesn't pray that you get more power because there's no more power to give you. God has already given you all the power of the universe. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the exact same power that's on the inside of you right now. Unfortunately, though, many believers are always asking God for something that they've already got. They're asking Him to heal them, asking Him, Lord, bless me in this way. And there's a right way and a wrong way and the right things and wrong things to ask God for, particularly if He's already given it to you. What the problem is we haven't been discipled and learned how to act on those things by faith, how to live these things out, how to, we have them, but we don't know how to enact them, how to execute it, in other words. So Paul here, so we're talking about our position in the ministry. If you understand the corporate assignment, why you're alive, you'll more understand where you fit in the scope of things, in the whole scheme of God's plan. You're not an accident. You are not, I say it like this, and it's almost cliche, but it's truth. You are not just the, it cracks me up when people quote me, because they always quote me wrong. I read it online, I'm like, oh, that's not what I said. You are the product of your parents' passion, but you're not just the product of your parents' passion. You're not just the product of your parents' passion. You are the product of God's purpose for your life. And that's what's most important. The Bible says that many, many plans are in man's mind, but it's God's purpose for him that will stand. So it's not what you think you should be. It's what God said you are. And when you walk in that, you have an unfair advantage in the earth over every human being. I like to say it like this. Nobody can do what you do like you do but you. Don't misquote that one. Just record it. Nobody can do like I do, and then, like, oh, dang. And then they put Pastor Lee Stokes. I'm like, oh, dang. I ain't say that. All right, so in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, talks about what this position that you have in Christ. It's your position in Christ, seated in Christ in heavenly places, all his authority, all his power, all that, in him, it says it over and over. The second part of Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 are about the walk in Christ, your walk. If you're not seated right, you can never walk right. If you don't know how to sit right in Christ, in your authority, you can never walk right. Walking in chapter 4 and 5, it talks about the walk in the Spirit. It talks about your walk as a married person. It talks about your behavior, all your behavior as a believer. Your behavior as a believer affects the authority and power that you walk in. Are y'all listening to me? If you don't understand, Jesus, we saw this with Jesus with the centurion soldier. Remember the centurion soldier came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, why don't you come over to me? He said, my servant is sick with something, and if you'll say the word, he'll be healed. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He says, no, you don't have to come. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. And Jesus marveled at that. He said, no, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. If you just say the word, it'll happen. Authority. Authority is contingent on you understanding how to submit right. Authority over sickness, authority over disease happens right when you walk right. Are you with me? So these things, so if you never learn to sit in your position, you can't use your authority right. You don't walk right. Come on, somebody. And then the last chapter in chapter 6, the last part of it is all about stand. Having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and all this stuff. Standing. Standing against the wiles of the devil. Standing against sickness. Standing against stuff. If you don't know who you are in Christ and sitting right, you'll never walk right. If you don't learn to do this walk right, you'll never be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. And you'll always be a miserable failure if you don't know your position in Christ, how to walk it out, right, and how to stand in the face of sickness. Stand in the face of lack. Stand, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. And are y'all seeing me? So that's what Ephesians is all about. And what we're talking about is this fourth and fifth chapter. In the first session, we read about the whole chapters. The whole chapter is about your walk. And look what he says. All of us are called to the ministry. And why this has to be straightened out first is because many look to the fivefold ministry. Many think I'm in the ministry, but they're not. And so you get what I'm saying? That's a problem here. And so these whole chapters, again, if you miss those, go online and you can watch it on our website or watch it on Facebook or any of that. But watch this. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to do what? Come on, everybody, lock in with me. To do what? To walk. That means to lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called. Say, I've been called. Not just me. We've all been called. When you got born again, you were called into the ministry. You stepped into the divine favor and blessing of God, but it comes with responsibility. Are y'all seeing that? Calling to which you have been called with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. And the whole chapter goes on this way, talking about how the behavior is, how your walk is. Your walk affects your call. Are y'all listening to me? We cannot walk like the world and expect to walk in God's power and authority. Come on, somebody. Are y'all listening to me? And so that's what we've been talking about, and we're all called into the ministry. That doesn't mean, I said this in session one, that doesn't mean quit your job, go start gathering a few friends that go to this church around you and start your own church. I've seen many do that. It never works because it's not under proper authority. It will not work that way. Not their fault. It's our fault for not discipling properly, and that's why we're doing it. Say amen right there. All right, last week we said this, that there's four categories of ministry. And really, Joe, it's three. And the fourth one that I said, the fivefold ministry, is really part of the second one. But because it's such a big category, I'm calling it the fourth. But it's really three areas of ministry that every believer is called to. And here they are. We talked about it last week. We just mentioned these, and we focused on the first one. The first one is the ministry to the Lord. When you get born again, your first call as a believer, every believer's call is to be a minister, and their ministry is to the Lord. That's verified all throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, but Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Some of the Pharisees asked him, they said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? What's the first and greatest commandment? Jesus said to him, you shall do what? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So the first call of ministry for every believer, this is not optional, this is what every believer is called to do, to minister to the Lord. And there's a lot of scripture about this, and we covered a lot of it last week, but just look at over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and now we'll look at verse 5. It says, you also... And I'm just starting right in the middle of the text here. First, it says that Christ is a cornerstone. He's a live stone, a living stone, and the cornerstone. You know how the Bible talks about him being the cornerstone? Why does the Bible talk about Jesus being a cornerstone? Because he's the foundation of a building. Y'all get it? If you go downtown, you see the big buildings, they'll have a cornerstone, and it'll say the date of the building and then all this stuff on that cornerstone. If you're an architect, they base how the building sits based on that cornerstone, where it sits. They do all the measurements based on the whole structure is based on that cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone, but look what we are. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. So the Bible is talking about here, the whole body of Christ is a house. Christ is the cornerstone. The Bible talks about the 24 elders being the foundation, and then we're built on top of that. So each of us, you, me, every person that's a born-again believer, is a stone in the building of the house of God. A spiritual house. Y'all get what I'm saying? This building isn't the house of God. We are the house of God. We're the temple of God. Y'all with me? He says, you are lively stones being built up a spiritual house. Look at this. A holy priesthood. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, we covered this last week in great detail. But you know this, we are the true priest of the covenant now. In the Old Testament, God, I read it to you in Exodus, God took the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery. He says, I want you to be a royal priesthood to me, a precious people. You're precious to me. I took you out on eagle's wings, and I want you to be a priesthood to me. And they said, no, we don't want to do it. We don't want you to talk to us. God wanted every believer to be a priest. What was the priest? What did the priest do? What did Aaron the priest do? They took the offerings from the people. They offered blood sacrifices. They took the lambs and the bullocks and all that stuff. They made offerings to God. They gave praises and incense up to God. They offered praises and worship to God. The priest did. Are y'all with me? So the Bible says that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We're a royal priesthood. That means kings and priests. We're, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6 says that we are kings and priests to our God. We're not kings over each other or priests over each other. We're kings in the kingdom. We're kings in the kingdom of God, and we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Look at verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation. A what? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There is your ultimate corporate call. Your life, my life as a born-again believer is to proclaim the praises of God. My life, my work, my attitude, my words, my behavior should give praise to God. Your life should do the same. And this is why it's important that you know that you're a part of the ministry too. And this is a part of your corporate assignment. You are, and watch, we're going to read all those scriptures, but many have thought that, well, Pastor Lee and the fivefold ministry, they are, their life is supposed to give praise to God, but I'm secular. I just do what I want. And I come to church once a week when I feel like it. That's not what it is. And that's why you'll miss your assignment and call in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Your unique call is connected to your corporate call. Your life, number one, the first ministry that every believer in is a part of, and to minister. Minister just means serve. Your service to the Lord is, number one, love the Lord your God. And how do you do that? By being, first of all, a living sacrifice. That's why we can't live in sin like the world does. We don't live in sin. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Christ died. Now we live this sacrifice life by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we don't shack up. We don't have sex like the world has it. We get married. We operate in the kingdom principles. Come on, somebody say amen right there. So first of all, the spiritual sacrifice that we as spiritual priests, the spirit royal priesthood offer up is a living sacrifice, our bodies, right? Number two is our worship. Our worship. We live a lifestyle of this of worship, and we live a lifestyle of this sacrifice life, this sanctified life. It's a lifestyle. I'm not just saying this is something we do when we're at church when we come. It's our lifestyle. This is how we behave ourselves. This is our lifestyle. This is who we are. Come on, amen. Our worship, we found out in John chapter 4 and verse 24. Remember the woman who had been married five times and the guy she was living with, shacking up with, was not her husband. And Jesus said, hey, you're thirsty and you're trying to quench your thirst with men. Remember that? And he said, but I got some eternal water that quench that thirst that you're looking for. You're trying to get it in men, but you need it in me. Are you with me? And he said, you don't know who you worship, but we know who we worship. And God is looking for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. The lifestyle of the believer is a lifestyle of worship. Now, worship, someone asked me at the first service, because God has also called us to a lifestyle of praise. And somebody asked me after service, what's the difference between worship and praise? Watch this. And great question. I can praise my wife. I praise my wife for who she is. I can say, hey, baby, you look really pretty. I can praise her. I can't worship her. Worship is set aside for God. Worship is when I bow my life down to her. I don't do that. I can praise her just like I can praise Jack, just like I can praise Dana for their behavior, for who they are, for stuff, for Bobby and Enda. I can praise them. I can praise my mom. I can praise people for their things, for the things that they do and who they are. I can't worship them, though. My worship is only set aside for God. And if I worship anything else, if I put anything else in that position, God calls it an idol. Are y'all with me? So praise, in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe verse 15, it says that we offer the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise. And this is a lifestyle. The Bible talks about how the children of Israel murmured and complained about the manna from heaven. They complained about all the stuff while they were in the wilderness. And God said that complaining, that they should have been praising. When you read the post and pretext of all these passages, like in Peter and in Corinthians, it always talks about how we should be praising. We should be praising and not complaining. It's a lifestyle, though. You have to correct your kids when they start complaining. Your kids don't know how good they have it. How many of y'all grew up poorer than your kids are growing up? I mean, your kids got more than you. Than you had. Come on, somebody. Almost everybody in here. So your kids don't know. They don't know. Most of our this generation, they're entitled. They live entitled. They think they're supposed to have all this stuff. My mom tells about, we got an orange for Christmas. It was like a what, orange BMW? You get what I'm saying? Right. Okay. So we have to teach this. We have to understand this. This is a lifestyle. And again, we can't make you do these things. When you're really saved, it's this consecrated, praising, grateful life. When you really get saved, you realize, God, thank you, I'm not going to hell. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my job. Thank you. A life of murmuring and complaining is the opposite of praise and worship. Are y'all with me? And then the fourth, which we talked about, every believer is called to tithe and give. Why? Because and that's what the priests did too. They took the offerings from the people and offered it up to God. Why is that so vitally important to God? It's so vitally important because your life is represented in your work and the pay that they give you. You trade your life for your work. How many of y'all went to work today? Uh-oh, dang. Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, I wasn't paying attention. Okay. Yeah. You traded your life, your time that you didn't spend with your family, that you didn't spend with your kids. You spent it on a job making money to take care of them or yourself. That represents your life. And this is why work is so important to God. So important to God. It is the character of God. It is the attribute of God. God is absolutely against those who refuse to work. Lazy. The Bible talks about it over. The Bible plainly says, if you don't work, don't eat. You get it? Why? Because God has created you to bring something to this earth, to contribute to it. And when you sit around and do nothing and just want somebody to hand you something, it's not a good reflection of who God is. Come on, somebody. So your tithing, what your tithing and giving says, God, you're the one who strengthened me to do what I do. I'm so grateful that I get to do this. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that this is my job. I'm so grateful. I would be crazy to not honor God with the strength and health that I have and the mind that I have and the revelation that he's given me to do this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the home I live in. Thank you for the cars I get to drive. Thank you for the vacations I get to go on. Thank you for the food I have. You say, but Pastor, I don't get to do that. Because your attitude is wrong about that right there. And you'll never get there if you don't get that prioritized right. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good. Y'all ain't liking it. But I'm preaching so good to you right there. And many people, God, listen. It's you saying to God, think about it. In the Old Testament, those guys, they had lambs and sheep and crops. So their cows have a baby. They take one of those cows that is going to be, it's necessary for them. They need that cow. God says, bring that cow to me and offer him. What? Yes, but they know, God, if it weren't for you, that cow wouldn't be alive. If it weren't for you, I couldn't have this property. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't be in my right mind to go on a job. If it weren't for you, I would be sitting somewhere in a hospital right now. If it weren't for you, I'd be on drugs. And so we don't get that. And y'all do, because you're disciples. Say, I'm a disciple. I get it. And because you get it, you're a tither. And you go, Lord, thank you. And it may not be. Now watch. These are things. Sacrifice of praise. Remember what it said? This is my sacrifice. All right? And that's what it is. So that's the first part. That is every believer. Hit the person next to you. Say, please, this is the stuff that will set you free. Uh-huh. Okay, so that was our first ministry. Our first ministry is ministry to the Lord. Our second ministry, and this is the one I'm going to cover tonight, is ministry to the body. And many want to bypass all this stuff, and they get bored and bored with church because they don't do any of these things. Of course you're bored. You're not walking out your assignment and your call. You don't love God when you fall down and you worship him and thank him. And maybe if your heart isn't there and you ask God, give me a heart, Lord. Because you know it. Have you ever been there when your heart is cold and you're not feeling it? Come on, just be real. God knows that too. And you just have to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Give me a heart for you out of sincerity. And you say that. And God will begin to turn your heart as you seek him. As you seek him. Are y'all with me? Second, the second ministry that we're all called to is ministry to the body. And by that, I mean the body of Christ. And we'll get to that. I'm going to cover that tonight. Thirdly is ministry to the lost. That's the ministry of reconciliation. All right? And this one, what I said was fourth, but it's really part of the second. It's ministry to the body, but some of us are called to an office of one of the fivefold ministry areas. All of us are called to the ministry. Some are called, but that's still just ministry to the body, all right? But I want to take some time to explain some of those things. So tonight, let's talk about ministry to the body. You remember the first commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's the first commandment, the great commandment. Jesus, in that same text, in Matthew 22, verse 39 and 40, said, the second is like the first. Here it is, Matthew, if you don't mind. Yeah, the second commandment is like it. You shall do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So in verse 40 for me, if you would. Can you be with me back there? Okay. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he's saying these are the two biggies. And you'll see, even as us called to the body of Christ, born again, that we're called to these two things. The first one, loving the Lord, that's right. That's what that first area of ministry, ministering to the Lord. The second one is ministering to the body. All right, let's understand that one. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 11, chapter 4. There is no chapter 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11 and 12 in the NLT, New Living Translation, and I'm going to read verse 16. This is where he begins talking about verse 1 through 6, all about the body and everybody being called to the corporate ministry, and all of us have a call, a corporate call to the body. Verse 7, he talks about your unique call. You've been uniquely gifted. We're going to get to some of that. Then he jumps into this. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. This is what we've coined as the fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I stand in the pastor-teacher office. Amen? Look at the next one. Their responsibility, the fivefold ministry, is to equip God's people to do his work. One translation says, equipping God's people to do the work of the ministry. Many have thought that the fivefold ministry, I'm the one supposed to go be praying for the sick. I'm the one who's supposed to be building up the body. The Bible says, no, you're doing that wrong. I'm supposed to teach the body to do that. That is my assignment to the body. Are you with me? But you have an assignment as well. Did y'all see that? The fivefold ministry, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. Build up the church. Serve the church. The body of Christ, all right? Go down to verse 16, please. He, Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work, all right? As every part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. If I do my part, Bobby does his part, Anna does her part, Shanae does her part, Mom does her part, Jack, everybody in here and everybody in the body of Christ did their part, it would cause the whole body to grow. But what's happened and why the body of Christ doesn't grow is because we aren't doing our part. Just a few, because I believe of our misunderstanding of what the ministry is and what our part is. Because your part is connected to your career. Are y'all with me? Now watch this. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of what? Love. Y'all, okay, come on, y'all. Help me out. That's the only way I can tell if y'all with me. And full of love, okay? So we all have a part to play. We're all in the ministry. Part of the fivefold ministry's responsibility is to train the body to serve, to love, and build up and minister to the body. My job is to train the body to minister to the body. It helps the other parts grow. When we all do our own part, it helps each other grow, all right? Now, let's understand what our part is and what each person's part is. Turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. How many of y'all learning already? Now watch, y'all. This is going to help you identify when we read through this. Let me read it, and then I'll start adding some commentary here. All right? Watch what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Listen to what he says here. What he says is, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Why is he saying that? Because he's about to say what your part of the body is. It's serving. And why he gives this warning, he says, listen, you're going to mess up your whole purpose and destiny if you don't learn to serve and serve the body. You'll miss out on it. I don't have time to be ushering. I don't have time to greet. I know I can sing better than everybody up there, but I don't have time for that. They gonna pay me to do that? They gonna pay me to work over in children's ministry? They gonna pay me to work in the parking lot? He said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And many don't even realize why they're stuck, broke, busted, and can't figure it out. That's even worse. Watch. He says, next one. Look at the example he gives here. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to who? Now, hear the principle that he's saying right here. The Bible talks about marriage, and it talks about me and Shanae being one body together. And it says, and it makes these kind of statements, Paul does in Corinthians, in Ephesians. He says, he that loves his wife loves himself. He wouldn't mistreat his wife because he's, in essence, mistreating himself. And so Paul is alluding here. He says, listen, we're all parts one together. My success is dependent on your success. Your success is depending on my success. And we depend on each other's success to be who all we're created to be. We belong to each other. Does your hand belong to your body? Does your leg belong to your body? Yes. That's what he's making the point here. All right, let's move on. In his grace. Now, remember what grace is. The way to remember what grace is that, see the word grace up there? Write this down somewhere. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's healing at Christ's expense. God's abundance at Christ's expense. He became poor so you could be rich. He became sin so you could be righteous. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid for it. That's that seated position, right? In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. You are uniquely talented above everybody else to do something that nobody else can do like you do. Y'all have heard me say it a number of times. Nobody can do what you do like you do but you. If there's a hairdresser that's sitting next to you or sitting next to your booth, they can do hair and maybe they're good. They can be the bomb, but they can't do what you do like you do. Not if you get a hold of your gift. Now, if you're lazy and never master your gift, you don't have a money problem. You have a mastering your gift problem. Destiny is not something that has to be begged for from God. It has to be discovered. Destiny is discovered. You came here to earth gifted. But many never walk in that. So they sit on a job that they hate. Don't raise your hand, but I promise you, about 50% of the people in this room right now don't like their job. They'd rather do something else. But the definition of it is, I don't like what I'm doing, but they don't know exactly what that is, what they should be doing. Why? Because they never found out what their gifts are. Now watch, look at what it says. In his grace, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. You do something well. You are gifted. So if God has given you the ability, now watch what he's talking about. He's talking about the whole body of Christ. If you have the ability to prophesy, speak out as much as with much faith as God has given you. Your gift works in conjunction with your faith. Come on, I'm teaching y'all so well. Your gift works in conjunction with faith. So you need your faith to execute and utilize your gift. So I got to understand what faith is. So I got to come to church so pastor can teach us that. Come on, somebody. We need each other. I need you to be on your faith. I need you healed. I need you blessed. I need you bold. I need you utilizing your gift. You're gifted and good at something that we need you to do. This whole, come on, do y'all not realize that you're gifted? You should be clapping for yourself. You are, but I find, please don't. There's no shade in that, but many people don't recognize that, so they live a very frustrated life. Come on, somebody. It is your, watch this. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. What is the common theme here? Whatever you do, do it the best you can. Give it your best. I found that you can really only give your best at what you're born to do. What you're good at. You get what I'm saying? Have y'all noticed somebody, I used Brooke this morning as an example. We knew early on, as Brooke is a little girl, just singing in the back of the car, that she was gifted to do that. We could hear it. We could hear her hear the voice, and we could hear that she could hear. You get what I'm saying? And some, you are naturally better at something than others with lots of effort. Have you noticed this? That yes, we all need to work on our gift and become excellent at it, but your gift, you can identify it because you're just naturally better at it. Have you ever, if you're gifted in music, can't you hear if you're standing next to someone when they're not? It's like, if you're a musician or a singer, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, ooh. Because it bothers you. It irritates you. It rubs you the wrong way if somebody is, ooh, 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 ooh. Hurts you if something's off pitch. Because that's your gift, and you want it done right. Come on, somebody. Amen. So one of the first keys to your success in life is identifying your gift. You got to know what that is. And so find it. Help your kids find it early. They'll never struggle in life if they get in their gift and learn to work hard. All right? If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. Do y'all get this? That some people are gifted at giving. Gifted at that. Have y'all, watch this. Have y'all ever met an encourager? Always encouraging. Give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility how? Seriously. You see the theme. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Now watch. He's talking about everybody use your gift. You hear the whole context. He's talking about we're all body. Everybody has a different and unique gift, but everybody do your best gift and everybody use your gift. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. What is he talking about? He's talking about us using our gifts, us working together as one body. Never be lazy. Hit the person next to you. Never be lazy. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't want to come. I don't want to do anything. That's why you're broke. That's why you have to work for someone you don't want to work for. Come on, is that too strong? Say, we love you, Pastor Lee. Come on, say it with a little more enthusiasm. I'm not feeling the love right now. Show if you're all right back there. That's strong, baby. I know. I show up is not lazy. She came right in afterward, just got off the job, running up on the stage, putting on the microphone, serving God. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. How? And I ain't going to do that. Hey, I'm quitting that. I ain't doing that no more. You would just, I'm amazed at how much people don't know. And the reason they don't know it is because you can, I mean, does it get any plainer than that? Let's read on. Serve the Lord how? Enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Be patient in trouble, yes. How many of y'all going to run into some trouble in life? All of us. How many of y'all been in some trouble in life? I'm going to wait for the rest of y'all liars or the sleepy heads who ain't paying no attention to me. All of us have. We all going to run. And he gives us the answer right there. Back up one more for me. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. Next. Thank you, baby. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. What is he talking about? All of us serving in the house of God. Yes. Not just a few. I ain't got time for that. I'm tired. I go to work. We all go to work. Amen. How many of y'all been at work today? I told the first service, my mom wasn't at the, she usually comes to the afternoon service, and I said, it's quiet in here. I said, my mom ain't here. I said, no worries, she'll be in the front row talking tonight. And I love it. Watch this. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. He's talking about the body of Christ serving each other. Bless those who persecute you. Y'all know there's some knuckleheads in the church that are going to talk about you. Bless them. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. He's talking about loving your neighbor, and your family members in the church. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Listen to that, y'all. Oh, my God, that's so good. If you're a CEO or if you're an executive, not everybody drives a SL500. Not everybody does. He's saying we're a body. All of us come from different places. Be generous and kind and loving with everybody. Not everybody has a master's degree. Not everybody has a PhD. Not everybody even has a GED. We all come from different sides of the tracks. We all have different backgrounds. He says, you're a body, though. Love each other. Hit the person next to you. Say, I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Look at this next one. And don't think you know it all. Well, if that was me, I'd know what to do with that. I call them Dr. Doolittles. You know what Dr. Doolittle is? They know it all and do nothing. Y'all know that? Come on, somebody. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. What is he saying right there? Do things above board. Don't do things, the Bible says it another way. It says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Make things look right. If you say, well, we aren't really sleeping together. We're just roommates. Do things in a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Come on, do I need to break that down? Y'all got it, right? Do all that you can do to live at peace with everyone. Y'all know it, in a body, there'll be disagreements. But he says, do whatever you can to live at peace with each other. Don't run people down. Just, hey, everybody's different, but let's agree to walk together in unity and in harmony and in love with each other. If you hear somebody starting to run somebody down, say, that's my sister. Don't talk about her. Come on, somebody. Jump on over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What is our second ministry? To the body. That's what he's talking about, ministering to each other. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Now, he's going to start talking. What you're going to see in this text, he's going to mix in the position gifts, office gifts, spiritual gifts, talented gifts. He's going to say, they all fit together as in one body. Watch this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. Now, this is awesome right here. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Next. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can do what? A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. The body. What is he talking about? The local church is a microcosm of the global body, universal body of Christ. The local church is a microcosm. It's a small sample of the big church. Christ is the head of the church. I am the under shepherd of this local body. But everything that we need to function as a body is right here in the body. Everything we need to function as a body is right here in the body. Are you with me? We're all here. Everything that we need to be what God's created us to do is right here in this body, if we'd all do our part. Watch what he's talking about here. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Mm-hmm. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. He's talking about the nine manifestation gifts. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, spirit of discernment, that is. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. You don't get to select your gift. God gives them to you. So your matter of gifting is a discovery and not an attainment. You've got it. You just got to discover it. Give me this gift, God. Give me. No. You've already been gifted. You just have to discover the gifting that you have. Are you with me? The human, now watch what he's saying here. He's going to sum it all up in this, and we're getting ready to go. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by the one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. Y'all get what he's saying right here? Each of us playing our role and being who we're created to be has something to contribute to this body. Because you don't do what I do and I don't do what you do doesn't make you or me less than each other. Or you less than me or me less than you. Or better. We're all necessary. Are you with me? Next, please. He says, and if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Now watch, y'all. What he's really explaining here is we each have to do what we're made to do. And without each of us doing our own part, the body can't function. Shanae was telling me that she had this lesson that they were teaching over in children's ministry or in middle school ministry, where they had them blindfolded and tasting different things, like chair wine. Okay, closing their eyes, just let me tell the example before you bust them up. But watch this. Tasting. Do you know if you taste certain things without seeing it or smelling it, you can't tell what it is? Have you seen it on TV? Do you know if you feel certain things without your eyes, you can't really tell what it is? Like, I think this is 7-Up. Nope, chair wine. Hold up. But without the sense of smelling it or seeing it, you can't tell. Your mouth needs your eyes and your ears. Do you know that your eyes don't see things for your eyes? Your eyes see things for what? For your body. It's not your eyes that want to go somewhere. It's your body that wants to go somewhere. Now, that's on the horror movies where the eye is just big old. You get what I'm saying? Each part plays a role. And you as the body of Christ, you're called to play that role. And it's a vital part in you functioning in the body of Christ. Watch. Okay, let me read on it. He'll explain it here. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. Do y'all know that you're here because God wants you here? Say, I'm here because God wants me here. And you play a vital role in the growth and development of this church. We read it already, but if everybody does their part, the whole body functions and the whole body grows. And just like if I can't see, it's going to limit my growth. If I can't hear, it's going to limit. I've got to lean on something else. I've got to lean on another part of my body to do what my eyes were supposed to do. Now my fingers have to read when my fingers should be doing something else. Are y'all getting me? And so when we each don't do our part, not only are we cutting the body of Christ short and ourselves short, selling ourselves short, we miss out on our unique call and assignment that God's called us to the world. Our third call is to the world. Are you with me? A third call is the ministry of reconciliation. But if, think about this, if my body isn't working right, if I got a migraine headache and my body isn't functioning right, do you think I can do much help for you? The first ministry is ministry to the Lord. That's first. You never get that down, you don't even get to move to this next one right. And that's a good chance, good reason why you aren't serving, because you haven't learned this tithing and giving and worshiping and praising and submitting your body to Christ yet. Come on, that's a reality, but I'm just trying to break this down so you know how this works. First ministry to the Lord, second ministry to the body. We all should be serving in the house of God, some capacity. Now, there is a time to sit. There's a time to sit. You first come in, you're learning about us, and we're putting some classes together so you know who we are, your function. We're even getting this test together so you can figure out your giftings. We're going to put everything in place so you don't have an excuse to say, well, when you get, now listen, when you stand before Christ, don't even bring up my name anyway. God is like, him I know, Bobby I know, Jack I know, but who are you? Come on, somebody. And you go, well, Destiny, they weren't teaching us none of that. Jesus, I know I just sat around all my life complaining and murmuring about everything and everybody. Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you. Say, smile. Just smile. This is called discipleship. Watch this. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Watch this. Watch this. In our body, because this is the example he's given us, what could you live without? One eye or one heart? The eye that I can see or the heart that I can't see? You get it? The visible stuff ain't quite as important as the invisible stuff. Try living without your bones. Try living without that liver. I don't even know what a liver looks like, but I know I need it. Try without them kidneys. Come on, vital organs. That's what they call them, vital. Finger, I can live without that. Don't want to. Come on, somebody. I play guitar. You get what I'm saying? I need all of my digits. But watch what he's saying here, because this is vitally important, because the body of Christ, what he's trying to make the point that we often put all the glory, we give glory to the seen part. And he says, that's not most important. Do y'all realize how incapable I am of doing about anything other than playing that? They don't even give me keys to the building. I get locked out of doors and I'm calling somebody on the phone. Can y'all let me in my building? I don't know how to turn off alarms. I don't even want keys. I don't want to know stuff. I like to stay in my lane. This is what I do right here. They be asking me questions. I say, I know the Bible. That's my job. I'm like an eye. I can see this. Don't ask me where the alarm system. People be asking me stuff. Well, you better call Enda or my wife. I don't know. What does this key do? I don't know all that stuff. Y'all get what I'm saying? And I stay out of trouble that way. I stay in my lane and do what I'm supposed to be up here teaching this Bible, studying this Bible at home. I don't get in none of y'all business. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most important. Do y'all know without... I didn't even know how to put this on. Bobby has to put it on me. Did I mess it up right then? Yeah. I don't know how to turn it on. I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know how to turn on that equipment. I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know how to turn on the lights in this building. Or the air. Nothing. People always ask me because they see me. Ask me questions. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Without Siva and them back there, without them putting these lights on right here, without somebody putting this podium here, without, I don't know where nothing is. I know how to turn on my guitar and play it. And that's a gift. Hold up, do y'all hear what I'm saying? I played guitar in church as long as I've been saved. After I got saved, I knew I had that gift. I said, I want to play in that band because I'm gifted to do that. I want to do it for the Lord. Because that's my gift that I give to the church. Are y'all seeing it? I serve too. I show up here at 7:30 with the rest of them. A.M. Sunday. Listen, and I work 7 days a week. I take off some of the day on Friday and some of the day on Monday. I think because we work at home, I have to study every day. Shanae and I work every day. You get what I'm saying? Just like you. We were in Atlanta yesterday. In Atlanta, the whole time Shanae's on the phone, the whole time with meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, the whole time from Atlanta to here. All day. I was tired of hearing her. Why? Because I'm trying to study. Because I got an ear set and trying to study too. The whole time and drive. Y'all get it? We all work. And so on Saturday, I'm sitting at home for 5 hours going over my music. Because that's my gift. Come on, somebody. We all should be. Now I'm blessed. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you that because all of us should be doing our part. Everybody. Hit the person next to you and say, me too, me too, me too. I got to get busy. Okay, go to the next one. Oh, yeah. Did I read that one? I read about 13 times. I'm almost done. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. He says, give the greatest care to the ones you can't see. The ones who aren't on TV, the ones who aren't on the spotlight, the ones who aren't on the platform. It's the ones who are serving, the ones who are ushering, the ones who are greeting, the ones who are greeting our first-time guests, the ones who are doing all the stuff behind the scenes, turning on the sound, turning on the lights, cleaning up stuff when we leave here. They're the ones. And it should be all of us playing a part. Come on, so how many of y'all learning today? How many of y'all does this help you? This is ministry. This is what discipleship is. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. Yes. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care. Do you all get that? Because, now watch, this is really going to show up when we stand before the great judgment seat, the bema seat. It's where we get rewards. I don't know how it's going to work out, but how are we all standing there? If we're all standing there as the body of Christ together and we say, oh man, there goes TD Jakes. There goes that great evangelist on TV. And do you know that we're getting a lot of our reward right now? With all this? But when we get there, God will be like, okay, who was running the sound over there? Who was unlocking the doors? Who was running up to the church when the alarm system went off? Who was doing all that? Who was going in there and cleaning up the bathrooms? Who was going and doing all that? You come up. You get the big gold chain. You get the big crown. That's what he's talking about. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Y'all get this? We should be caring for all of us, and the ones who do which seem to be the least, they're the most. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. When you are celebrated, we're celebrated. When you get blessed, the whole body gets blessed. When you get promoted at work, the whole body gets promoted. When you fall, all of us are become less. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Next. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Watch this list he makes. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Five office gifts. Now spiritual gifts. Those who have the gift of healing. Next. Those who can help others. Listed right there with the apostles. Somebody who can just help. Can I help in the parking lot? Can I help over in the children's? Can I help in the nursery? Can I help over in the vacuuming the church on Thursday? Can I help out in the parking lot? I hear y'all are paying the building. Can I help? What happens is we make all these calls, we sell this, and we talk big, but then end up doing little. I'm going to be there. Psych. I'm busy. I got too much to do, Pastor Lee. In fact, I'm dropping out of that. I can't do it. You know I'm busy at work. Us too. Those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, looking for those people who can lead, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? No. Do we all have the power to do miracles? No. Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Most helpful. Well, Pastor, if I was up there preaching, that would be really helpful. Y'all think this is easy. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Say, way of life. Look at this. I'm going to read the next three verses and we're done. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clinging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Last verse. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Close your Bible.